This is Ooh, Laura, You're More Than a Superstar, a Teen Wolf fanfic written by Kaluna Volgari and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Laura Hale Stiles Stilinski, with additional tags for alternate universe canon divergence, alive Laura Hale, werewolf Stiles Stilinski. Author's notes. The prompt for this was first time, so originally it was going to be very heavy and full of lots of guilty hot sex. However, once I started writing it, I felt like adding the sexual aspect would take away from the rest of it. So it's been intentionally kept vague. If you think they're platonic BFFs for life, go right ahead. If you want to think that a month down the line she jumps his bones, it's up to you. But yeah, this was incredibly fun to write. But it also hasn't been beta'd, so let me know if you notice anything.
It breaks my heart in two. A million pieces, oh, it breaks my heart in two. A million pieces. If it's gonna break me, won't you let me go? Leave it till the morning, I don't wanna know. Breaks my heart.
She'd been so stupid. So fucking stupid. Sending Derek in after some dead deer back in Beacon Hills was a mistake. It's stupid for you to go, he'd told her, his clothes still stained with grease from the shop. Why send the alpha when you've got a perfectly capable beta to do your dirty work for you? He teased her about it the entire week that it had taken to convince her. He teased her about it during that last phone call he'd made, when he called to tell her he was 30 minutes out. And now her brother is dead, cleaved in half like he's just another animal. She aches and aches, crooning and sobbing as she brushes the hair off of his forehead, rubbing their cheeks together like she could make the smell of decay go away if she makes him smell enough like her. She feels broken in a way she hasn't since she first became Alpha, and it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. She's alone now. Impossibly alone. An Alpha without a pack. She howls her fury to the moon, to the sky and the stars, and lowers her head over her brother's body. Loses herself to the instinct. When she comes back to herself, the smell of teenage boy is all over her. She spares a minute to wonder if, in her half-crazed state, she went out and fucked some minor in the hopes that she'd get pregnant. Expand the pack, breed, the need for more Hales crawling just under her skin. But no, she doesn't smell like spunk or hormones. Worse, she smells like fear. Like blood. It isn't hard to find the boy. Once the bite takes, she can feel him, same as she used to be able to feel Derek. A constant, thrumming tether. Pack. 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 He's in high school, and that right there is horrifying enough. She lets her senses stretch, reclining against the hood of her Camaro in the school parking lot, shutting her eyes as she soaks in the sun. He's in chemistry, talking with another boy about what happened last night. How he'd found the body, Scott. Her entire chest feels like a block of ice that won't thaw. The pain of grief and loss coupled with the shame of making not one but two horrible decisions in the last week. She stays there for hours, listening to the boy. Stiles Stilinski, sheriff's son. And doesn't that just make things 100 times worse? Go about his day. She learns his name and the way he likes his coffee. Familiarizes herself with the boundless energy surging beneath his skin and the sound of his feet on cheap flooring. She listens and waits, the sun burning her skin and healing before it can even go red. Everything feels wrong, being here without Derek, waiting for this kid to emerge from the school so she can spring a huge, life-changing secret on him. She thinks that it's highly possible that she'll always ache for Derek, that she'll spend the rest of her life mourning the little brother that had escaped the fire, only to die a horrible, lonely death later. Half an hour before school is due to let out, she finds the kid's Jeep in the parking lot and reclines against that instead. She waits. "Whoa," the kid says when he catches sight of her. His scent briefly goes sickly sweet with arousal before he wrestles it down. It makes her want to smile, so she does. It's good that he's already got good control. "Not that it isn't awesome having a hot girl all over my car. I'm pretty sure I've had several dreams about that matter, very in-depth, you know? But, who are you?" She slants her eyes open, squinting against the glare of the sun. He is young, lean and gangly, with hands and feet that he hasn't quite grown into. It reminds her painfully of Derek when he was 15, before he'd grown into his bulk. The kid's got these big, doe-brown eyes and baby cheeks that make him seem even younger than he really is. He's miles and miles of pale skin, but he's looking at her with narrow, suspicious eyes. Slowly, she slides off of his hood, twisting when she gracefully hits the ground. "Laura," she tells him, smiling brightly, flashing every single one of her teeth. His response is both instantaneous and subtle enough that she doesn't even think he notices the way he slinks back half a step in submission. He blinks. "We need to have a little chat," she shrugs, closing the distance between them and slinging her arm around the back of his neck. There are people watching. Curious high school kids who are already buzzing with gossip. She needs to get herself away from here before someone thinks to tell the sheriff that there's a strange woman making off with his son. "So the real question is, my car or yours?" "I'm sorry," she tells him after she's finished. The kid's room is small, dirty laundry stashed in forgotten places and smelling overwhelmingly of hormones and teenage boy. She paces the perimeter of his room the best she can, tracing her fingers over the books on his shelf and the various posters littering the walls. He's sitting on his bed, watching her calmly. He had her hackles up, because he's been that way the whole time, sent a steady stream of calm. "So, I'm a werewolf now," he finally says, carefully, like she's going to laugh at him. God, what if he thinks that she's pranking him? Some strange woman shows up claiming that he's a werewolf? What kid would believe that? She nods, chewing on her lower lip as she paces. When she looks back at him, he shrugs. "I figured it out this morning." Apparently, this kid believes that. She doesn't know whether to be annoyed at his naivety or proud.
"And the bunny in the woods?"
He starts, trailing off, his scent going sour with uncertainty.
"My brother," she says sharply. "I sent him here to check in on something, and when I found him, I..."
"You lost her mind a little bit," he finishes, nodding, as if it's perfectly normal to lose control and bite somebody. Miserably, she returns the nod.
"So, what now?"
he asks. "We crank some 80s power ballads and have a training montage?" Laura scowls at him, but he just shrugs,
flashing a huge grin in her direction. Well, you are gonna train me, right? How to control the wolf? She can practically hear the quotations in his voice. Jesus. Reluctantly, she nods. Someone out there killed my brother, she warns him. This isn't going to be like some kind of movie. It's going to be dangerous, and I'm sorry, but I can't even promise you that you'll be safe. His eyes are shrewd, knowing. It's strange seeing that look on another person. But you are going to promise to try your damnedest to protect me, aren't you? Of course she is. She could never just leave him to this after what she's done to him. He's pack. She tells him as much. Well, he says slowly, smiling softly at her. This smile is new. Shy and trusting. Nothing like the huge grin he's been giving her this far. That's what matters, then. We're in this together. She's not surprised that when they meet up in the preserve the next day, he's got a tag-along. He's not stupid, she'll give him that, because the minute he sees her expression, he's all flailing limbs and stubborn eyes. No, 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 he's saying, closing the distance between them. You've already got me lying to my dad. There is no way that I'm keeping this from Scott, my wolfy lady friend. She snorts at him, then sighs, plastering a polite smile across her face as she turns to the kid next to Stiles and offers her hand. Laura Hale, she tells him. Pleasure. Scott McCall, he replies, shaking her hand. His scent is a mixture of distrust, uncertainty, and suspicion, but he gives her a goofy smile anyway. She'll take what she can get. So, Scott, what do you know about werewolves? They spend the next week training and strategizing in equal measures. Stiles has decent control for his age, despite the fact that his brain is all over the place all the time. He's also clever, and if Scott's anything to go by, loyal to a fault. He was a good choice, even if the circumstances were terrible. She watches him take off through the tree line, fully shifted and fast, almost as fast as she is. With more practice, he could be absolutely deadly. All grace, poise, and precision. She likes him, too. He's funny, and when Kate Argent shows up in town, doesn't hesitate to do what she asks of him. She's already spoken to Chris and Victoria, even if it was agonizing to shove all her instincts down and go to them. Neither of them were happy to learn that there's a rogue werewolf somewhere in town, especially one powerful enough to kill a born beta. Kate Argent is a different matter entirely, because the first thing she does is shoot Laura. It could have gone worse. It could also probably have gone better, but when she shows up after school, bleeding and delirious, Stiles is at her side in an instant. Why aren't you healing? He hisses as he hustles her into the passenger seat, his hands warm, almost feverishly so. You're supposed to be an alpha. Alphas don't die from... He fumbles at her side until he can see the wound. A bullet? Wolf's Bane bullet, she tells him through gritted teeth as he shifts the car into gear. Even alphas can die if the poison reaches their heart. Stiles is shaking, jerking his eyes away from the road every few seconds, like she might die while he's not looking. What do I do? He finally asks, after he's exhausted what seems to be every curse known to man. She hesitates. Take me to the Argents. He shoots her an incredulous look, but does as she says. Kate isn't there when they arrive, but Chris takes one look at her and curses, pulling her and Stiles inside before the neighbors notice. It definitely could have gone worse. At least she doesn't lose her arm. People start dying. Her uncle goes missing, and then tries to kill her. Well, I guess we know who killed your brother, Stiles tells her that night. He's stroking her hair, huddled around her in his bed like he could protect her if Peter came back to finish the job. She hadn't expected it, so Peter had gotten the drop on her. It was a stupid mistake, one that might have actually killed her if not for Stiles. Now she's got a gaping wound in her chest, smearing blood all over Stiles' sheets. He's warm, pressed all along her side, face turned into her hair. She can feel him breathing against her temple. It isn't unwelcome, but it is incredibly strange. I'm gonna get arrested, she tells him, her tongue sloppy and slurred. Probably, he snorts. Don't worry, I'll hear it when my dad gets home. She drifts for a while, letting the sound of his heartbeat calm her mind. It was never this hard before, back when it was her and Derek. She works well with Stiles, but it isn't enough. Maybe her and Derek could have done this together, but even if Peter is a wounded, half-crazy beta, he's always been entirely too clever. He was always the smart one. Mom's right hand. I think you should bite Scott, Stiles tells her, his voice soft and breathy, gentle. He'd be a terrible wolf, she mutters, shifting so that she can tuck her nose under his chin. At first, maybe, Stiles says, shrugging. We'd have to ask him, but I think that he'd be good eventually. He's got the heart for it, and we need that. You know, the strength on the brain. Laura, we need a heart. She sighs, breath gusting over Stiles' neck. It makes him shiver, but only 50% of that reaction is chill. We can ask him tomorrow, she concedes, pulling him closer. But right now, I need to sleep. She wasn't blind to the fact that Scott was dating Arjun's daughter, but it makes things more complicated. He doesn't want to take the bite unless Chris okays it. It makes for a very awkward dinner. You want to turn a kid? She smirks, shrugging when she says, tongue-in-cheek, Why not? I've already turned one. Both Argents narrow their eyes. She laughs, thinking that she's clearly been spending entirely too much time with Stiles. That was different, Chris tells her. We understood your circumstances. You didn't hurt the boy, and you owned up to it. You came to us. Apologized. You're taking care of him. This is the premeditated turning of a child. Victoria finishes, her eyes like chips of ice. Laura sighs, playing idly with the green beans on her plate. My pack consists of myself and one teenage beta. He's been doing well, but it's not enough. We need protection, and there's protection in numbers. Peter is clever and dangerous, even to me. We've offered you our assistance. She smiles at them wanly. And I've taken it, graciously. But I know my uncle. Even with your help, it's going to be difficult. She doesn't say anything about Kate. About how the woman has been stalking her around town, always just out of sight. She doesn't say a damn thing, because Kate is a different problem. One that she hopefully won't have to handle until after Peter's been taken care of. He's dating our daughter, Chris barks. She inclines her head, fighting down the instinct to flash her eyes. He is, and you have my word that I will not let him near her until I believe he has control. He's agreed to the terms. Do you? Will you tell his mother? Victoria asks, curiously. She bites her lip, because that's what she's been worrying about. The sheriff doesn't know, and the Argents have agreed with her that it's best she and Stiles not tell him until after Peter has been taken care of. But this is different. Scott won't be bitten by mistake. She'll be doing it conscious and wholly herself. And he is only 16. I'm considering it, she says, because it's the truth. So I have your approval? Scott is a terrible beta those first few days. His control is poor, and he spends a huge portion of his time pining after Allison. Twice she has to go after him, intercepting him before he can reach the Argents. I blame you, she says, struggling to keep a snarling, out-of-control werewolf pinned. She'll use her alpha voice if she has to, but she'd rather Scott regained control on his own. Stiles, from where he's watching from the tree line, holds up his hands, an innocent expression on his face. Hey, I admitted he'd suck at first. Stiles protests. The fight is slowly going out of Scott. He's slumping in her arms as he struggles to get his heartbeat under control. When he does finally get a handle on himself, Stiles lets out a great whoop and whisks Scott out of her arms and twirls his friend around the clearing until they're both laughing. That's what I'm talking about, buddy! Stiles is shouting, a huge, happy grin on his face. When he turns the look on her, she's helpless to do anything but smile back. Stiles has talked about Lydia enough that when Laura finally meets her, it's a bit underwhelming. Even so, she can tell that Stiles has good taste. The girl is clearly intelligent, even if she hides it under a vapid facade. Hey, she purrs suddenly, as if she's just noticed Laura, pulling away from the dresses that her and Allison are examining and crossing the aisle. You're that girl that Stilinski was with in the parking lot. Laura eyes her warily as Allison joins them, giving Laura an apologetic look over Lydia's shoulder. Allison might not know about her family or werewolves yet, but one day she's going to be a damn fine leader. Because there's no getting out of this, Laura offers her a small smile. I used to babysit him, she lies, shrugging like it's no big deal. I came back from college and figured I'd stop by and say hi. Lydia quirks an eyebrow at her. I'll bet that was fun. This time, the grin isn't fake. She can only imagine how much of a hassle it would have been to babysit a younger, more hyper Stiles. She feels for the sheriff. She really does. So much fun. You have no idea. She drawls, crossing her arms and leaning back against a rack of suits. Stiles and Scott are both around here somewhere. She'd brought them here to help them pick out suits for the formal, but she lost them back in the electronics section. She knows they'll join her eventually, but she can only hope that it'll be after the two girls wander off. A quick check reveals that they are still fucking around, arguing about some new video game. Lydia's idea of small talk is eerily similar to being interrogated. She coaxes Laura over to the ladies' side of the formal wear, asking for her opinion on two almost identical dresses, and springing loaded questions on her in between discussing strappy sandals and stilettos. Where did she go to school? How long has she known the Stilinskys? Why did she come back? For someone who apparently didn't know Styles existed until Scott started dating Allison, she seems to know a lot about him. When she hears Scott and Styles make it up the escalator, she makes her excuses, tells Lydia to go with the second dress, and goes to herd two boys away from the primary reason they came to the damn store. It's pretty easy, even if Styles eyes her strangely afterward, nostrils flaring. You could always take me, she laughs later that week, tossing a hacky sack between her hands as Styles fucks around in his closet. It's the 10th time today that he's bitched about going to the dance by himself, and while it's amusing, she kind of wants to take his self-esteem by the throat and beat it around the head.
Nuh-uh,
he cries, his voice slightly muffled. She slides partially off the bed, blood rushing to her head as she peers into the closet, mostly upside down. The suit she'd picked out looks good on him. Definitely better than what he'd planned on buying.
We already went around the gossip mill once, Alpha, my Alpha. That was more than enough. And no offense, but if the school starts thinking that I'm in a relationship with a hot older woman, I'd kind of like it to, you know, not be a lie.
He finally comes out, takes one look at her hanging upside down off his bed, and rolls his eyes. You're ridiculous, he tells her. Your face is ridiculous, she responds, sticking her tongue out. She was planning on hanging around near the gym like a total creeper and monitoring them in case Scott lost control. What actually happens is Kate Argent kidnapping her. It's embarrassing. Hello, big sister, she drawls, a sick smirk on her lips. I was hoping that your brother was back in town. Very sorry to hear about his loss. He was such a nice plaything. And such stamina. Kate laughs when Laura snarls at her, flicking a switch that sends electricity jolting down her spine. But of course you knew that, didn't you? Word on the street says you're fucking the Stilinsky kid. Tell me, what felt worse? Turning him into a monster or sinking back onto his cock? Fuck you, Kate, she growls, eyes flashing red. No thanks, Kate purrs. Doing your brother was fun, but it was kind of a one-time thing, you know? Needed to get some information so I could burn your family alive. She grins brightly, even as Laura's entire vision goes red, red, red. Distantly, over the sound of her own roars, she hears Kate chide. Bad puppy. Then there's nothing but pain and darkness. When she comes to, Styles is crouched over her, eyes glowing fierce and yellow in the darkness. She gives him a sloppy grin, gasping as her muscles spasm.
Hey there, she slurs, nuzzling her face against his.
He makes a low, gutted sound and presses into her touch. It should come as a surprise that it takes her a minute to wonder how he got here. She knows she hasn't taught him enough about pack bonds for him to follow them here, so how? Shouldn't you be at your dance? She asks,
coughing once, and then grimacing as she spits blood onto the floor. The laugh that comes out of him sounds strangled.
Yeah, funny thing. My alpha got herself kidnapped. That takes priority.
She smiles again, hiding it in the shadows of his throat. He pulls away carefully, patting her hair when she whines at the loss. She squints up at him and, yeah, that's a serious look on his face. Also, your crazy uncle crashed the party, took a chunk out of Lydia, and kidnapped me off the lacrosse field. Don't worry, I lost him like a couple miles back, but I need to get you out of here before he sees you all trussed up and takes the opportunity to tear out your throat. He says it so calmly. His heartbeat is even steady. She'd known that he was cool under pressure, but damn. Tiredly, she nods at the car battery that Kate had been playing with. Styles takes the hint and immediately heads over to start dismantling it. She gasps when the constant low-grade thrumming of electricity stops running through her, biting down on her lips so hard that she tastes blood. Lydia, is she... She's fine, he says, then snorts in disgust. Well, no, she's not fine. Last I heard, Jackson was yelling for an ambulance, but she's not dead. Scott? With Allison. He didn't even notice Peter. We really need to work on his control some more. She whimpers again when he gets her out of the chains and collapses into his arms gratefully. He holds her for another minute, lets her gather her strength, and helps her back onto her feet. How much time do we have? She asks him, leaning on him a bit more than she should. No wonder's nearby. Guess whoever got you was really confident about keeping you chained up down here. But I'd say Peter's maybe 5 minutes away, and that's if he actually took the bait and followed the wrong scent trail. Fuck. She is in no way prepared for this fight. Not at all. Get me out, she gasps. Fuck, Styles, get me out of here. They're ambushed outside her old home, but not by Peter. Hunters. God, she hates hunters. Styles, run, she whispers, grunting in pain when she catches an arrow with her stomach. He turns to her, furious, eyes glinting beta gold and defiant. I'm not leaving you, he hisses, tucking her behind a tree and ripping the arrow out. It won't do much good, not with Kate and, God, Chris. Fuck, she was a fool for trusting him, gunning for them. In this moment, she aches for her mother. Laura's a terrible alpha. She doesn't know what she's doing. She got her brother killed and pulled two kids into the mix. Come out, wherever you are, she hears Kate laughing. She broke the code, Chris, Laura yells, furious and desperate. She's coming apart at the seams. Your sister killed my entire family and laughed about it. There were kids in there, Chris. Human kids. And you're really going to stand by her? She laughs, harsh and derisive, and can feel the point where it tips over into hysterics because Styles reaches down and squeezes her hand. That is exactly what he is going to do, my lovely niece. A voice drawls from the shadows, and she starts, eyes widening. This isn't happening. He's an Argent, Peter growls, stepping out from behind the bulk of a large tree. A hunter. That's what they do. Peter laughs at Styles when her beta steps in front of her, hand outstretched, a low growl coming from his throat. Oh, Laura, haven't we been down this path before? Unless, of course, you've forgotten what happened the last time you sent one of your betas after me. Her throat closes up. Her chest turned to ice. Peter, she remembers, uses his words like weapons, like their crossbows and wolfsbane. He wants to turn her into a mewling child, wants to break her apart so he can kill her easily. Instead, she thinks of Derek, his eyes blank and staring, about how the last thing he saw was probably his favorite uncle. He'd probably felt relief to see Peter out of the coma. He might even have been happy before Peter turned around and ripped his throat out. This time, Peter's words give her strength, turn her spine to steel. The hunters are quiet. It's unlike them. Put your sister down so I don't have to, Chris, she yells over her shoulder, gently guiding Stiles out of the way. You take care of yours, and I'll take care of mine. She doesn't have time to check if he's doing it, or even if he's heard her. She narrows her eyes and lunges. So simple. A bullet to the head. Claws to the throat. She stares at Peter's corpse after, and wonders if he felt any remorse for killing Derek. It doesn't matter. She leaves him to rot. Time passes, and her pack grows. First comes Allison, then Stiles' father. Later comes Lydia. In the summer, she turns the gravedigger's son, and instead of slitting the boy's father's throat for what he's been doing to his child, she passes a tip to the sheriff. She finds Erica through Stiles, and Boyd through Scott. Melissa McCall comes with her son, once she finds out. Cora comes to her on a sunny morning, and they spend hours sobbing together, their arms wrapped around each other. 3 years pass, and Stiles turns to her on a Thursday night, a musty old book in his lap, and tells her, I think I found a way to bring back your brother. Laura smiles. The end.
I breathe in hard. Don't speak, 'cause it's like a bitter pill. You blow my mind. It makes my heart beat harder, 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 harder. The king's a clown. No one is laughing, it's not a drill. Don't look outside, the world is ending. Faster, 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 faster. Of that news ring loud. No sound can ever drown it out. It breaks my. I can feel your eyes in the back of my head. Burning, burning, burning. Floating through the room as the hairs on my arms are rising, rising, rising. I'm chemically drawn closer to you. Eyes wide open. Will you be my future or just an escape? Love me, love me, love me. You'll never get to heaven on a night like this.
This is, and in this old horror show, I've got to let you know. A Teen Wolf fanfic written by Kaluna Volgari and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17 and contains the pairing Derek Hale, Stiles, Stilinski, with additional tags for Werewolf Stiles Stilinski, Alive Laura Hale, Rough Sex, Resurrection, Alpha Laura Hale. Author's Notes.
Why can't I Derek Styles Laura? This is the second time, in the same series no less, that I have set out to achieve delicious Wolfie threesomes and have been thwarted. Last time, it was because their relationship felt too platonic. This time, it's because Styles and Derek wanted to bang in a cave. Oh well. Third time's the charm, right?
They caught a path across the road. A blinding look from me to you. And I'll be arriving in the headlights. We'll never get to heaven. I'll be arriving in the headlights. We'll never get to those nights.
The first time Styles saw Derek Hale, he lost his lunch all over the floor. That'll happen when you trip over half a dead body. The second time doesn't go much better. He's weirdly cagey about her getting too close to the grave, even though it makes no sense. She's seen it before. Once, when she buried the first half of his body the day after she'd bitten Styles. And again, when the county had surrendered the rest of him. She'd buried both halves of her brother's body when it was in far worse shape, so Styles has absolutely no reason to be so adamant that she not see the body. Not that there's much of a body left. Derek hadn't been buried in a casket, hadn't gone through the whole embalming process, so when Scott and Styles dig him up, he's barely more than bone and cartilage. It's still not pleasant, painstakingly making sure all the bones are accounted for. And while the smell is manageable, it's still strong enough to make him feel sick. "We doing this yet?" Lydia asks, drumming her nails against one arm. They're painted a pale yellow that matches her sundress perfectly. It's such a Lydia thing to do that, wearing a sundress to a resurrection ritual. When he'd picked her up earlier with Scott, he'd taken one look at her and burst into laughter. "Yeah," Styles breathes, biting down on his knuckles as he takes one final look. The book had been pretty vague on assembling the body, so he has no clue what's going to happen to the bits of Derek that already decayed. Hopefully they grow back pretty. He doesn't want to think about what Laura would do to him if he raised her brother as a glorified zombie. He nods one last time and climbs out of the grave. At the bottom, Derek's skeleton has been carefully laid out so that it looks exactly like the replica hanging in every science classroom across the country. Laura joins him when he's out, linking their hands without a second thought. He gives her a reassuring squeeze. "Yeah, let's do this." What he never considered when he first sat Laura down and told her that he might have found a way to bring her brother back is how incredibly awkward it might be. He hadn't really concerned himself with what Derek might be like as a person. All he knew was that even with Cora coming back, Laura still mourned her brother more than the rest of her family combined. He figures that it's because, unlike the rest of her family, Laura feels personally responsible for the death of Derek. It wasn't her fault, and it never will be. But Styles can tell her that until he's blue in the face, and she'll never believe it. Not really. So when he'd found the ritual, he'd thought all about Laura's happiness, sappy dreams of having an alpha without the constant undercurrent of misery that she tried so hard to hide, blooming to life in his mind. He'd gone to her after talking everything over with Lydia, spending night after night huddled in Lydia's room and going over every aspect of the ritual until they were sure they could get it right. His mind had been on Laura, and rightly so. He'd never considered the person that he was bringing back to life. Derek is, first and foremost, a complete asshole.
He's also stupidly gorgeous, sarcastic in a hilarious way, and the smile that had spread across his face when he'd crawled out of the grave and seen his sister again had made Styles' heart flip-flop tellingly in his chest. Laura had been too distracted at the time to notice, but Scott had, sending Styles a funny look that meant he was doing a really bad job at hiding his sudden desire to climb all that like a tree. He'd tried harder after that. But it isn't even that Derek's attractive or that he's a total asshole that makes things awkward. That Styles could deal with. He's 19 years old, and between Lydia and Laura, is used to inappropriate boners sprouting up when he's faced with the perfection that is beautiful but deadly things. All things considered, if he's being completely honest with himself, Derek isn't the only one who's an asshole. The problem is that he's not used to another wolf thinking that they're Laura's second. It's awkward and terrible. That's what it is. The first time that Laura snaps an order and both he and Derek go for it, they end up smacking into each other and snarling until she doubles back and swats them both across the head. It's instinct, okay? He's been Laura's since she bit him. Obviously. But they have been packed for years. He's had years to get used to being her second. The instincts have been building since he convinced her to bite Scott, since he sprung her loose from the hunter torture chamber, since he stepped between her and her crazy uncle, fully prepared to die for his alpha. She spent nearly every day for the last 3 years at his side, and this Derek thing is fucking with his instincts. It would be better if he couldn't sympathize with Derek, but he really can. The dude grew up with her. They spent their childhood knowing that Laura would one day be the alpha, knowing that Derek would probably end up as her second. Then they had 6 years between the fire and Derek dying to cement that bond. 6 years where they were all each other had. So he gets it, he does. But convincing that part of him that is all wolf to back down and submit to a beta who he's never met is another thing entirely. Look, this obviously isn't working, he tells Derek, the night that they both get themselves kidnapped by something huge and scaly that is no doubt planning on eating them because they couldn't sort out their instincts for 5 fucking seconds. He has every faith that Laura is going to come for them, but if he and Derek would have sorted this whole thing out weeks ago, she wouldn't need to rescue them, because they would have been doing their jobs as her head betas. When Derek just glowers at him, Styles throws his hands in the air and huffs. Don't even give me that look, buddy boy. We need to sort our shit out already before I get someone killed. A low, subvocal growl fills the cave. It makes the hair on the back of Styles' neck stand on end. It shouldn't, because it's just Derek, not the monster come back to eat them. But it really does. What exactly do you want me to do about that? Derek growls back at him waspishly, eyes glinting blue and challenging in the dark. Back down, you fucking dumbass, he's saying with his eyes. Submit or eat shit. Only Styles has never been very good at backing down when faced with something. The only person that he's ever truly submitted to is Laura, and even with her, it's touch and go sometimes. The fact that Laura's bitchy little brother wants him to just flop over and show his belly, it itches. So he does the mature thing, baring his teeth and flashing his eyes right back. I want us to have a nice conversation, he says through gritted teeth, backhanding the urge to lunge at Derek to the back of his head. And I want us to discuss this problem like rational, logical creatures of the night. Hell, maybe if we work together instead of butting heads, We'll even come up with a solution. Derek still looks like he wants to eat Stiles for breakfast, and his eyes are still turned up to 100. But at least he's not growling anymore. They sit in silence, glowering at each other. The section of cave they're in is small enough that even pressed up against opposite sides of the walls, their knees are still touching. That itches, too. He's used to pack cuddles, and the urge to bite a pack member for touching him is strange and unfamiliar. Fine, Derek bites out, just as the silence growing between them starts to become unbearable, a sour expression on his face. What do you suggest? Teamwork, Stiles says instantly. Without even looking, he holds up a hand, cutting off Derek's protests. The pack is already a team, right? But we're, I don't know, the quarterbacks. Big, important roles to play. But when the quarterbacks are too busy fighting each other, do you really think the team's going to score a goal? You're comparing this to football? Derek asks incredulously, shifting an inch closer, like he's tempted to slam Stiles back against something repeatedly, and not in the fun way. Yes, I am, Stiles hisses, claws biting into his pants. Your stupid little analogy doesn't even make sense, Derek shouts, leaning even further into Stiles' space. It's a dumb fucking move, one used specifically to try to get him to back down, and it's not going to work. Derek's teeth are practically grinding together as Stiles mirrors the move, and they're too fucking close now, every single instinct insisting that if he doesn't go for the throat first, he's gonna get his own torn out. There's only one quarterback on a team, dumbass. Stiles falters. Shit. He should have gone with a different metaphor. My point still stands, Derek, he growls, recovering quickly, spitting out Derek's name like a curse. You can't have infighting within the team or everyone's fucked. They shouldn't be shouting when there is a creature that could come back any minute to get itself some werewolf stew. But Derek is so fucking infuriating. And how are we supposed to fix that? Derek roars right in his face. It's gross. And Stiles is pretty sure he gets spat on a little bit. But it doesn't matter, because something is building between them, and when it snaps, he is pretty sure that there's going to be bloodshed. We work together, genius! He screams back. And there it is. There's the snap, like something tangible in the air between them. He's half shifted, and already braced for impact, when Derek springs, slamming him back against the wall so hard that if he were human, he'd probably have a concussion. Derek's got one hand around his neck, hoisting him up so that Stiles is completely off the ground. It's about as disorienting as the rage coursing through his veins. He snarls, snapping his teeth an inch away from Derek's pretty fucking face, and scrambles against the wall, pushing into the hold Derek's got on his neck, even as his feet scrabble for purchase. When they don't find any, Stiles does the next best thing, sinking his claws into Derek's biceps as he wraps his legs around the other man's waist. Derek lets out a noise that's half surprise, half outrage, and Stiles is twisting up and out of the grip on his throat with such force that it knocks Derek off balance. They land in a heap on the ground, Stiles' legs still tangled around Derek's waist, ass firmly planted in the other werewolf's lap. His position affords him enough leverage to get a hand into Derek's stupid hair, yanking back so that the man's throat is right there, perfect and pale, and bare just for him, the perfect space for his teeth. They both freeze when Stiles' fangs close around his Adam's apple. He feels it when Derek swallows, throat working, helpless. The hand in Derek's hair goes slack, but Stiles doesn't move, fangs just shy of breaking skin. Derek doesn't move either, frozen statue still against him. Styles is breathing heavy. They both are. And when he swallows, his tongue brushes against the skin of Derek's throat. The urge to bite down is still there. But now Styles is very aware of the fact that he also wants to get his lips on Derek's throat, too. He wants to lick it. More than just a brush this time. Wants to suck bruises into that neck and watch them heal. He's also suddenly very aware of just how hard his cock is, stringing against his jeans. And unless he is very mistaken, there's an answering hardness grinding into his ass. Slowly, carefully, he allows his jaw to relax until he is just barely holding on. And then, deliberately, licks a line up Derek's throat. Derek shudders against him, a quiet whine making it past his lips. And that's all the encouragement Styles needs. They surge together and it's easy. It's like fighting with him. Hard and fast and mind-numbingly hot. Derek bites down on his lip, hard enough to draw blood, and Styles just gasps, rocking down into him. "You're still infuriating," Derek growls, as he pops the button of Styles' jeans off altogether, getting a hand down his pants and around his cock. Styles' breath catches in his throat, unthinkingly clawing four jagged marks down Derek's shoulder blades, and chuckling when Derek kisses. "Right back at you, bucko," he laughs, twisting his hips up into Derek's fist. When Laura finds them 3 hours later, she wrinkles her nose at them and just gives them this long, deliberate look. "Don't say a fucking word," Styles tells her, squinting up at her over Derek's shoulder. Derek waits until she leaves before he laughs at him. Styles punches him hard in the shoulder, thinking about how that area of skin had Styles' claws embedded into it not that long ago, holding on as Derek stroked them off together. "I brought you back into this world, buddy," he warns. "Don't think I can't take you out of it again." Derek snorts, pointedly nuzzling into the line of his throat. Styles doesn't do anything other than tip his head back to give him better access, which is telling in and of itself. The way Derek trails his lips up to Styles' ear is excruciating, and he wonders if it's worth the effort to say, "Fuck it," and just have round two right here and now. "Please," Derek whispers, voice low and raspy, lips dragging against his earlobe. "Why kill me when there's a bed at home just begging to be broken in?" "You're evil," Styles moans. Derek just laughs. The end.
You try to get to heaven on a night like this, but you never get to heaven on a night like this. Those nights when your friends are gone, when you're holding on to someone to be with. Those nights when you crave someone to be there at home to wake with. 'Cause are we all just looking for a little bit of hope these days? Looking for somebody you can wake up with. Looking for a little bit of hope these days. We are, we are.
Walking out into the dark, cutting out a different path,
led by a beating heart.
All the people of the town cast their eyes right to the ground.
It matters all the heart.
The night was all you had. You ran into
tonight from all you had. Found yourself a path upon the ground. Ran into the night, you can't be found.
This is Your Name is Tattooed on Every Boy's Skin. Ulura, a Teen Wolf fanfic, written by Kaluna Volgari and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated NC-17, contains the pairing Derek Hale, Laura Hale, Style Stilinski, with affiliated pairings of Derek Hale, Style Stilinski, Laura Hale, Style Stilinski, Derek Hale, Laura Hale. This story contains additional tags for Werewolf, Style Stilinski, Alive, Laura Hale, Sibling Incest, Threesome, Plot, What Plot, Polyamory, Oral Sex, Double Penetration, From Sex to Love, Fuck Buddies, Alpha Laura Hale, Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence. This story is the third in the series, Ooh Laura, You're More Than a Superstar.
Summer evening breezes blew, drawing voices deep from you.
The empire beating heart.
What a year and what a night, what terrifying final sight.
Put out your beating heart.
The night was all you had. You ran into the night from all you had. Found yourself a path upon the ground. You ran into the night, you can't be found.
Derek gets back in from his patrol with Scott at 2 in the morning, sighing as he walks through the front door of the house that he shares with Laura and, more often than not, Styles. It's late, and he's exhausted, and wants nothing more than a shower and maybe whatever leftovers they've got in the fridge. He's halfway into the room before he freezes, blinking at the sight of Laura perched on Styles' lap, the flowy, silvery skirt she's gotten herself as a present, spread over their laps like a quilt. Her back is pressed up against his chest, and to some people it might look like she's just using him as a chair. Possibly. But she's got a flush of color high on her cheekbones, and Styles' eyes are wide and shock stupid, the way they get when there's an impending orgasm in the equation. And while she might have an excellent poker face, Styles really doesn't. You are fooling absolutely no one, Derek tells them. He pauses, considers. Probably not even the humans. Laura's poker face shatters and she grins at him, wicked and sharp like silver and fangs. Styles' mouth drops open in a soundless moan when she rolls her hips, steady and languid, like she has all the time in the world. He wonders if she'd ordered him to keep quiet. Probably, knowing her. Derek blinks at them, sees the challenging look in Laura's eyes, and sits down to watch. Fuck, Styles groans, squirming beneath her. I cannot do this, Laura. I thought I could, but I can't. Kill me now, just... Please, if you love me, don't let Derek watch. Derek thinks about being offended. He really does. But it's been 2 years since they brought him back to life. 1 year and 7 months since he'd had Styles for the first time, in a dank cave that smelt of reptile and mold, under the pretense of fixing their communication problems. By now, he knows what Styles is like. And even if he didn't, Styles would have put an end to that pretty quickly, because he goes on to say, "No, seriously, I will probably combust from the hot. I will go boom, and then you will only have 1 second to boss around like..." As he talks, Laura shifts around, giving up the silly pretense of perching daintily in his lap like she's not sitting on his cock, and straddling him easily before sinking back down. Styles cuts himself off with a sharp moan, throwing his head back and making a space for her teeth. He watches Laura's teeth come down on pale skin, the little human indents that they leave behind. He licks his lips and thinks about getting his dick out. When Laura starts riding him in earnest, using the couch behind them to brace herself, he says, "Fuck it," and reaches for his zipper. He watches them for a little while, soaking in the smell, taste, feel of the room, the little glances that Styles keeps sending him over her shoulder, eyes flaring gold, how Laura's moaning loud, obscene, and obnoxiously pornographic, obviously putting on a show. It sends a flare of heat spiraling down his spine before he even gets his fingers around his dick. They've been doing this a while, he's pretty sure. Styles and Laura. He doesn't know if the others are aware of it, but he can smell it on them both. Styles crawling into Derek's bed, still smelling like Laura. It drives him absolutely insane. He doesn't know when it started either, just that it was after him and Styles started whatever it is they have between them. He and Styles, they aren't dating. They aren't, no matter what Erica says. They fight and fuck and save each other's lives, and that would be all there is to it if it wasn't for how exclusive they've been about it. They fuck each other, and until Laura, they were pretty monogamous about it. Derek's not stupid. He knows that they bonded while he was, well, dead. Laura filled the void he left behind with Styles. And even if turning him was an accident, he knows that if he asked her, she'd tell him it was the best mistake she ever made. So there was a bond between them, this huge, lingering what-if that nobody talked about. He saw how close they were. But until that first night that Styles had crawled into his bed, smelling like Laura and spunk and sex, and carefully nosed a question into his collarbone, he hadn't even considered that there might have been something more than pack between them. He'd been weird about it for a week, allowing Styles to cuddle into his arms, but refusing to actually instigate anything sexual. It was uncomfortable. And they'd both probably reeked of misery. Because Laura had come to him, swatted him around the head, and said her first and last words on the matter. Don't be a jackass, Derek. Just because I'm fucking him doesn't mean you have to stop. And that was that. Styles had knocked sheepishly on his door that night, and Derek had reeled him in by the collar, kissing him harshly, and fucking him against a wall until he'd howled loudly enough that every wolf in Beacon Hills had probably heard them. It was a weird back and forth, sharing Styles. The house that Laura bought was big enough that packed sleepovers weren't an issue, but it wasn't very soundproof. He'd lay awake at night sometimes, pretending that he wasn't listening to the way Laura said Styles' name when she was coming. In the morning, they pretended that they hadn't heard him jacking off. So it worked. Until now. His sister is beautiful like this. Sweat dotted across her chest and throat. Lips open on the jagged edge of a moan or a whimper. The fact that they're both still dressed. Just her panties still caught around one ankle. And Styles' jeans unzipped far enough to get his dick out. Is both hot and frustrating. He watches the silky material bunch around her thighs and wants to pull it off with his teeth, wants to tear Styles' jeans off of him so he can see what they're joined together. He bites down on his lip, hips bucking up into his fist, and the smell of blood fills the air. On cue, they both glance over at him. He doesn't know what he looks like right this second, dick in hand and what's probably an embarrassingly open expression on his face. But whatever he looks like, it's clearly good, because they both jerk against each other and share this look like... Laura climbs off of Styles again, shushing his protests by sinking back down on him the way she'd been before, her back to his chest. She catches Derek's eyes, and arches a sculpted brow in his direction, then, very pointedly, spreads her legs wider. He blinks, watching numbly as she takes the material of her skirt and pulls it back, making it bunch up around her hips. His eyes are helplessly drawn away from her hands on her skirt and back between her legs, where Style's cock is buried inside of her, flushed red at the root. He isn't wearing a condom, but then Derek hadn't really been expecting him to. They'd both asked him some rather probing, completely unsubtle questions lately about his opinion on children. They always have been transparent. Styles groans again, and when Derek jerks his head back up, away from where they're joined together, they're both watching him with dark eyes. Derek, his sister whispers, fingers flexing against Styles' knee. She jerks her head the same way she did when they were kids, when she'd roll her eyes and make that same motion, the unspoken, "Get your ass over here or get beat," obvious. He doesn't hesitate, crossing the space between them with a few heavy steps, his dick slapping awkwardly against his stomach, and then he's kneeling down and burying his face between Laura's legs, lapping at the space where they're joined with broad, helpless strokes of his tongue. They taste salty and bitter together, like sweat and pre-cum and them. Styles jerks when Derek traces his tongue around the root of his dick, bucking up into Laura with a mule that she quiets with a small growl. Derek smirks, letting go of his own cock so he can dig his fingers into the pale undersides of Laura's thighs, spreading them even wider so he can push his whole face up against them, nose grinding up against her clit, even as he pushes his tongue right up into her, right next to Styles' dick. He can't get very far, but the quiet, breathless noise that Laura makes as she rocks down onto his face is worth the way his tongue is already cramping up. He eats her out slowly, filthy and enthusiastic, getting her and Styles good and wet. He makes sure they stay still, holding Laura down even as she growls at him, both of them getting more and more desperate the longer he spends with his tongue between their spread legs. "Derek, I swear to fuck," she finally growls, and he starts, tongue slipping out of her, because that's her alpha voice, and she is completely wrecked, he realizes, when he glances up at both of them from under his lashes. Her cheeks are flushed a bright red, lips swollen and hair mussed like Styles has been running his hands through while Derek wasn't looking. She's got this glazed, half-wild look in her eyes, which are gleaming red like an order and a request. He hesitates, looking to Styles, who doesn't look like he's going to be much help. If anything, he's worse than Laura, flushed that blotchy red that he only gets when he's really into something. Pupils dilated so much that there's only a very, very thin ring of glowing gold. His mouth is open and wet, panting openly. Laura is clearly trying to calm herself, because it takes a moment where her mouth moves soundlessly before she grinds out, "If you don't get inside of me in 10 seconds, I am going to claw open your stomach and laugh at the pile of viscera." "What is it with you hills and all the threats?" Styles gasps out incredulously, but he looks like he's not even hearing what he's saying, trying to buck up and growling when Derek keeps them both firmly pinned to the couch. His dick twitches, and he'd like to say that he has a second where he doesn't know what Laura is talking about. But she's sloppy and stretched all around Styles, one leg hooked over Derek's shoulder, and the way she's twitching up, like she wants him back inside her, is more telling than any verbal answer could ever be. He doesn't ask her if she's sure, but he does take the moment to slide 2 fingers inside her, tapping them against Styles' dick just to make him choke on a laugh. Just because he knows that she'd heal if he accidentally ripped something doesn't mean that he wants this to be anything less than a completely amazing experience for her. He manages to get another two fingers hooked inside her before she loses her temper and sinks her claws into his shoulders, leaving pinprick holes in the Henley he's still wearing. Gently, he draws his fingers out. Then, ignoring her snarl, hooks his fingers under his shirt and pulls it up over his head. After another moment of consideration, he gets rid of his pants, too. "Oh, good idea. Take mine off, too," Styles demands quickly. And even though Laura is still growling out threats, Derek laughs and reaches around her so he can drag Styles' shirt over his head as well, then ducking down so he can help him shimmy out of his jeans. Now that he's not holding her down, Laura is doing her best to fuck Styles straight into the couch, a frantic edge to her movements that has Derek hastily grabbing for her again, afraid that she'll go too hard, too fast, and Styles will come before Derek can even get inside of her with him. "You fucking asshole!" she snarls, her breasts heaving, white tank top nearly transparent with sweat. "I am your alpha! Listen to me when I..." She breaks off with a ragged gasp when he starts pushing in, and all three of them go still as Derek works himself inside of her. It's almost too tight. Styles' cock a hard, hot line against his, Laura all tight, wet heat around them. Derek's toes curl in the carpet, and he bites his lip to hold back a whimper, blinking his eyes open again only when he's in as far as he can go. They both stay there, panting and adjusting to the feeling that's teetering on the edge of too much too soon, until Styles gives a whimpery moan and hooks his chin over Laura's shoulder so he can bite at Derek's lips. He falls into the kiss easily, and somehow kissing Styles changes to kissing Laura. It should feel new and strange and gross, but he has been dead. Derek has been bones before, and actually has his dick inside her right now, so kissing his sister is not the strangest thing he's ever done. They manage a decent rhythm together. Derek's smug when Laura realizes that with this position, she doesn't have enough leverage to actually be in control. That Derek has to do most of the work for all of them. It's good, though. So very good. Styles mouthing sloppily at his neck as Derek exchanges biting kisses with Laura, moving inside her in sharp jabs and slow slides. He teases and taunts, pinching her nipples between his thumbs until Styles' hands join his, sliding down her belly to tease her clit, until she's a gasping, jerking mess between them. They mean for her to come first. So she does, explosively, letting out a wail that rivals some of Styles as she jerks between them. Derek goes slow as she rides out the aftershocks, melting back into Styles' chest with a happy, almost drugged smile. She nuzzles them both, happy and affectionate. And after a moment, she slaps Derek's ass, which he takes as permission to stop holding back for her sake and pick the pace back up. He's less careful now that she's come, running into her hard and fast. Styles whimpers, claws sliding out and drawing careful jagged lines down Derek's back. He's floating on a haze of pleasure, so close, kissing Styles over Laura's shoulder in between trailing kisses up her neck. So it's pure chance that he looks down at her as he's straddling the edge. She's looking up at him from beneath heavy, dark lashes, just a sliver of alpha red visible. And there's a sloppy, warm smile around the edges of her lips as she looks up at him and tells them both with just the right amount of command in her voice, "Come for me." They come for her, hard and dizzying, emptying inside of her and whimpering through the aftershocks, trembling as she gets her hands on them, palming with a touch. "Dude," Styles pants, shuddering when Derek pulls out. Please tell me we can do that, like, all the time. Jesus. Laura snorts, nose pressed into Derek's shoulder. She makes grabby motions when he pulls away, going so far as to outright whine when he shakily makes his way out of the room and down the hall. When he reaches the linen cupboard, he can hear Styles going, "Whoa, wait, where the hell does he think he's going? Derek, you better not be jumping out the window." He grabs a towel, one of the ones closer to the back that they never really use. It's got holes in it, and he's pretty sure it migrated over with Styles when he started staying the night more often, but it does the job. He takes a moment to wipe himself down before he heads back to the living room. When he gets back, Laura and Styles are slumped over across the couch and cuddling. He's got his arms looped around her belly, his nose buried in her hair. The image is soft and sweet. And Derek is in no way ashamed of the way he stops to admire the view before slinging the towel over to them. "Why the hell would I jump out the window?" he asks, sliding in next to them. The couch is too small for them to all fit horizontally, so he wriggles in where he can until their heads are pillowed comfortably against his thigh. He strokes a gentle finger over the curve of Styles' cheekbone, smiling when the digit catches in Laura's hair. Styles gives him a happy, upside-down grin and flaps a hand dismissively.
"I don't know, you're weird about shit sometimes."
Laura rolls her eyes. "He wouldn't be Derek if he didn't get weird about shit. It's all part and parcel of the experience. Get used to it, Stilinski." Styles pouts at her, but shrugs, grabbing blindly for the towel and swiping it across his junk. Then, so gently that it could be classified as reverent, starts wiping Laura down. She swipes half-heartedly at him, but doesn't protest the treatment. "We should, you know," she says after a moment of quiet. "Do this more often." "Yeah," Styles puts in, scooting closer to Derek. With a fair bit of maneuvering, he gets Laura spread out across both their laps and cuddles up against Derek's side, flopping his head onto the available shoulder.
"Sharing is caring, bro."
Derek raises an incredulous eyebrow.
"Pretty sure we've gotten damn good at sharing."
Styles wrinkles his nose and blows a raspberry.
"Yeah, but that's just sharing me. Trust me, it'll be way easier to not have to worry about one of you feeling left out because of whose bedroom I decided to sleep in.
This way, we can have awesome sex and awesome sleepovers." Derek exchanges a look with his sister and nudges her gently, wiggling his eyebrows in a manner that hopefully comes off as him asking what her opinion on the matter is. She burrows her way further into his lap, nose dragging against his hip. After some consideration, she nips it.
"Don't know why you're asking me," she tells him. "You guys are the ones with the weird relationship issues."
"We are not." She laughs at him.
"Pretty sure you are. How long have you guys been having sex now? Almost 2 years?
And how many other partners have you had?" She examines a nail, picking some dirt out from beneath it, then clarifies. "Besides me, of course."
When they're both silent, she gives them a smug, triumphant look.
"And you still say you aren't dating.
Ergo, relationship issues."
Styles looks like he's going to protest again, so Derek decides to be the bigger man for once.
"Okay, so we might have possibly been dating a little, without the actual dates."
"So what? Would the three of us be dating then?" Styles asks, getting that gleam in his eye that means he's going to be handing them spreadsheets and bar graphs on the subject in the morning.
Derek shrugs. If you want. Styles leers at him. Oh, baby, I want. The both of you are idiots, Laura remarks fondly, leaning up so she can kiss Derek on the nose first, then turns and does the same to Styles. We'll do what feels natural and go from there. It's that simple. Instinct. Derek smiles at her, threading a hand through her hair and bending down so he can press a sloppy, happy kiss to her brow. Well, Styles says after a handful of minutes, right now my instinct is saying to get some grub. I think the diner is still open at... He peers at the clock. 3:30 in the morning. What say you, my equally furry brethren? Is it a date? It is a date. A date spent teasing each other under the disapproving eyes of the lone waitress, and even worse, flinging eggs back and forth. When they get back to the house later, they all have eggs and bits of sausage in their hair, but end up taking turns picking it out when they fall straight into Laura's bed. Their next one goes better, but that first date will always be Derek's favorite. The end. Reader's notes. This podfic was recorded, well, because there needs to be a buttload more of Derek Laura Styles, and if we can make that happen, it'll be great. It'll be a happy place in the universe. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. Thank you for listening, and have a nice day. But this is a heart, and you feel it.
The sky, why, to see where it would fall. Oh, will you come down?